But I really want to build on what God is doing. Who believes that the church is under a place of testing? And I really believe, you know, there's a spirit of offense that has attacked the church that has caused people to take offense, because you have to pick up an offense, all right? The devil puts it in your lap, but you've got to actually pick it up. Jesus did say offenses will come. Offenses are not an option in a Christian's walk. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Offenses are not an option for a Christian. It says when offenses come. It doesn't say if offenses come. It says when offenses come. And every time an offense comes, usually it's to deal with the enemy. Right? The enemy or the inner me. And usually an offense comes, or a sense of whatever comes, from the circle that you are associated with. The devil doesn't use people that you don't know to bring offense. He uses people that are close to you to bring offense. And sometimes what they've said is not even offensive. It's how you've perceived it. How you have taken it on board, whether you have a hurt or whether that area of your life is tender, that can be opened. Just like a bruise can be touched, there will be a reaction to whatever is bruised. Amen? And so the devil knows that offenses will come. He is the offender. He will use people to offend. But God uses the fruit of the Spirit to develop your character and nature to Christ. Was Jesus ever offended? Jesus never got offended, don't you think? Don't you think he was troubled in spirit? Is that what the Bible says? Did Jesus ever get troubled in spirit? He certainly did when it came to the end hour. It says he was troubled in spirit. He was troubled in spirit. Lazarus was dead. It says Jesus groaned and he was troubled in the spirit. And even Jesus, the man, was troubled. I'm not saying trouble overtook him, but some things can consume. And so in the midst of all that, he desires to develop something in our lives to bring us forth as children of God. And we're living in certain hours. Who believes that this morning? There are certain hours, and I want to just hear about the hours. I'm reading the book of John a lot. It's quite powerful what he talks about in the area of hours. There's an hour to watch. Amen? The Bible says there's an hour to watch and pray. I don't believe that hour ever goes. I believe you have to be in an hour of watching and praying continuously. Amen? There's an hour of coming. That which God has prepared is coming, but it's not yet. Tamsin preached on it last week. She called it the meh moment. Meh, whatever. It's there, but it's not there. All right? It was not his time to be poured out. The hour will not take him by surprise. It will be a fulfillment of destiny. When Jesus was at the wedding feast, he said to his mother, "It is not my hour. It's not my hour." All right? She says, "Whatever he says to do." So something. But what he was saying is that pouring out, he was not ready to be poured out yet. But he knew he would be. You understand where I'm coming from? John 7:30 says this, "Therefore those who sought to take him put a hand on him because his hour had not yet come." When God has a purpose in your life to do something and to fill something on this earth while you still got breath, he will accomplish that which he desires to accomplish, no matter what the trial or the tribulation suffering, it will cause growth in your life to fulfill the purpose that you've been created to fulfill. Amen? You are not here by coincidence, you're not here by mistake, and you're not here by chance. He knew your days, he fashioned your days before you were born, and he has something for you to fulfill. Whatever that is for you. It is not mine to fulfill, it is yours to fulfill. What you've got to know is, what is it? Paul says it like this, "That I may apprehend that for which I've been apprehended for." What is your that you be apprehended for? You've got to know your that. You need to turn me down because I'm going to get loud. I'll get a bit loud. You, You must know your that in life. I may apprehend that for which I've been apprehended for. So you've been apprehended for a reason by the Spirit, that you might apprehend that to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. What is your that? Know the vision, or write the vision and make it plain. What is the vision for your life? Is it enough, like Jesus had vision when he was 12 years old, and he said, "Don't you know I must be about my..." Therefore, he knew his that at 12. He was apprehended for a reason and a season, and yet he knew also there was times and hours that he would have to walk through before it came to the hour. Amen? This is not my message, just tidbits. But I want you to understand that there is a situation and an event happening in the spirit realm for your life, so you can get a hold of what God wants for you. Amen? If you never get a hold of this, never get to the next phase that God wants for you. You must know why you've been apprehended. Amen? John 8 and 20 says, "These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught. No one laid hands on him, for his hour had what? Not yet come." God will cause and orchestrate things in your life, even though you might go through trials, even though you might go through... He was abused, he was accused, yet he walked through them, they didn't touch him, because his hour was not yet. So we will get abused, we can be accused, we can get let down, we can have groanings in the spirit, but all that is the process to get you to the hour that you've been destined for. Amen? John 5, 25 and 4, 23 says, "The hour is coming and now is." Past, of present, future. Present, future. There are some things I'm dealing with in my, and there's some things I'll have to deal with in my future. There's hours to come. And it says, "When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." What was dead will come alive. It causes in my now moment, in my now season, he's trying to teach me to have an ear to hear. Even in the midst of the dilemma, even in the midst of the turmoil of life, he wants me to be a set aside so I have a moment or the hour to listen to the voice of God and have intimacy with him so I get clarity of hearing the voice of the Father. There's nothing more that will press you into the presence of God than trouble. And I'm not making an excuse, because really trouble shouldn't be the prelude, or should not be the motive for me to get in the presence of God. But most Christians, it is. Most Christians all of a sudden realize they've got a prayer life because something's wrong. But the reality is, if you're being prayed up and you have a walk with Jesus that is on a continual daily basis, where you have intimacy with him, things will pop up, but it will not shock you. Verse 20, Matthew 26, 45 says, "And the hour was at hand. Now therefore the feast of Passover," John 13 and 1, "when Jesus knew that was his hour had come," Jesus knew that his hour had come. The hour didn't happen. He recognized the hour. That's discernment. We've got to be a people of discernment. Hear me, more than ever before, you have to have discernment in this hour like never before. In the book of Leviticus, priesthood, there was people that were never allowed to join the priesthood. Do you know that person? Even though he was qualified, he was in the right tribe, and even though he might have been in the right house, there was something in his physical makeup that the Lord made him stop, that he could never minister to him. You know what it was? I'll tell you, the old King James, a flat nose. It says, "Those with a flat nose can never minister before me." The nose speaks of what? Discernment. You lack discernment, you'll never minister. What you're going into the presence for is to get. Amen? There must be people that discern in this hour like never before. What am I apprehended for? What is my that in life? Amen? And Jesus was teaching these, and we're going to read 13 right now. Jesus was teaching his disciples something. He knew he was about to go to the cross. He knew his hour had come. But there was something he needed to leave with his disciples before he left. Amen. Turn with me to John 13, 1 to 11. Jesus had come to fulfillment of the hour had come. Something had to be demonstrated by him to show them what he expected of. He was teaching them a life lesson that was had a spiritual, a significant spiritual meaning. Are you with me? Oh, I'll have to read it myself because I didn't put it up. No, it's 11. John 13, 11. John 13, verse 1 to 11. Can we get into the Bible today? John 13. What I'm about to share is probably one of the greatest stumbling blocks in a Christian's life. One of the greatest stumbling blocks. No one's exempt from it. It will happen. But it's how I deal with it that makes the difference. Oh, look at that. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world, he knew his hour was coming. He departed out into the of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world. He loved them to the end. It doesn't mean the end of his life. That word end means the end of the ends, forever, forever, forever. He loves. Amen. You got to get solidified. You got to get established. You got to have a foundation in your heart that he loves me. And he chastens those whom he, all right? So when you get chastened, don't rebuking everything and everyone. Just maybe it's the work of the Lord to teach you something, amen? And train you in the ways of God. And supper being ended, the devil had now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. I'm going to just stop there for a minute. The devil had come into Judas Iscariot. It says, in fact, my Bible says it entered him. Amen. Matthew 12 actually says this, right? When the devil left and the house was put in order, it was swept and cleansed. I think it's Matthew 12, verse 34 or something like that. It was swept and cleansed. And then the devil, I will go back to my house from where I come from. And he took seven. Do we know that story? Am I speaking in a foreign language? Right. He brought back how many more devils with him? Seven other devils, and they occupied the house. Is that what it says? And the reason they could occupy the house, and this is what Judas had, that Jesus never sweeps. He washes. Jesus doesn't put anything old in order. He renews. Amen? Are you with me? So when Jesus was walking with Judas, Judas had the external appearance and the external experiences of the other 11 disciples, but nothing internally. He was swept, and things were in order, and the house looked good externally, but inside there was no change. Or the devil had right of access into his life. That's why the devil could enter. But if you've been washed and you've been renewed, it's full of the house. Because if a strong man binds the other strong man, he has access to the house. If you've allowed the Holy Spirit to deal with strong men in your life, when you are hidden in Christ, he cannot find you. It's when you step outside of Christ, he can see you. Are you with me? Oh, it's up there. So this God manifest in the flesh. The other one. All right. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in his hands, and went to God. There is something that Jesus said that if we get a hold of, will allow us to be as he was in the situation he was in. Judas was the one that was used to do what? What's the word? He betrayed him. Judas betrayed Jesus. But betrayal is from a position of close proximity. I wouldn't care a hoot if I didn't know someone that we're talking about. I don't know them anyway. Yeah, right? Betrayal is always from within the circle you know. Always. Betray means to abuse, to mistreat, unfaithfulness, disloyal, bad faith, violating trust, putting one's own self-interests first. That's what betrayal means. Now I'm going to throw you a curveball. All of us have done some form of that, even to Jesus. It's one of those things that when the Lord requests of us, He put these issues in my life. Right to the end, He called Judas what?
Friend.
He still called him friend. He was still hoping when he had washed his feet that the external experience would give him internal revelation. Having a foot washing service doesn't renew the inner you. And I know we've done it. Judas's feet were washed by Jesus himself, but it didn't change him. You've got to allow the Spirit to wash you from the inside. Amen. So the foot washing is more of a spiritual attribute than a physical one. Are you with me? And there's nothing wrong with having a foot washing as long as your heart is with the washing and you're not doing because you think you should do it to make them feel better or yourself better by doing it. Amen. Because a lot of times we try and do the right thing to make myself feel better. Are you with me? But the reality is the foot washing's got nothing to do with the washer. The foot washing's got everything to do with the person receiving the washing. Give me the next one, son. So the last demonstration before the demonstration of the cross, the foot washing was the last demonstration. And we haven't got all the scriptures, so we're going to read them. Let's go. It says in 13 of John, Acts, so that won't be any good. I'm going to read from verse 3. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. That sentence, you need to highlight that. You need to write that down somewhere. You need to put that on your fridge. Jesus had the strength to do what he was about to do. The foot washing wasn't a sign of weakness. In fact, it was a sign of power. And the reason he could do that, because he knew something that the Father had given him, number one, all things. And I'm going to throw it out to church. So have you. So have you, 1 Peter 3. You've been given all things to bring forth a life. He knew all things into the hands, and he had come from God and that he was going from God. You have come from God. You've come from God. Didn't he know you before you were even born? Weren't your days already written in the book before you were even born? Don't you know that you didn't come to him, but he came to you? No man can come to the Son unless he's drawn by the Father. And Jesus brought a demonstration of the washing of the feet. Peter being angry. Peter got very angry. He said, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus says, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me." So what Jesus was saying is this: you don't allow this process to happen you will have no part with me here, and you will have no part with me there. So how important is washing of feet? And I know straight away we're thinking of buckets, and I know we've got towel. It's not that. Please listen to the spirit behind it. There is a spiritual matter behind this whole scenario. He warned, if I do not have no part with me in both this kingdom or the next kingdom, how important is this foot washing? If I have not received and ministered, it stops relationship both here and there. You'll have no part. If you do not let me wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. Peter, being Peter, jumps up and says, well, Lord, washing must be important. Don't just wash my feet, wash my hands and my head also. Because he thought the more washing, the closer he was going to get. Jesus said to him, he who has been bathed need not wash, be bathed again, but just wash his own feet. Footnote and hint. Jesus was leaving us an example to wash people's feet. But he never commanded me to wash people's hands or people's heads. For them to have washed their hands from the works of the and them to renew their mind, they must go to the bather. And his name is Jesus Christ. I am not responsible for how a person thinks. And I'm certainly not responsible for how a person acts. But I am responsible to wash their feet. Are you with me? Jesus washed his feet. Jesus washed all their feet. Every one of them. And he told them, this is a sign for you to do, and you will understand it later on. It was the greatest love act, one of the greatest love acts Jesus did. And how I wash someone's feet goes to Matthew 6. Forgive them of their trespasses. Lord, help me to forgive them of their trespasses as you forgive me of my trespasses. I can only wash their feet from the trespasses against me. I wash their feet from the trespasses against another. That's between them and them. But I can wash their feet from the trespasses against me. Jesus stripped himself. Is that what the Bible says? He took off his outer, didn't he? And he had his inner garment and he took up a towel. Yeah? The garment, the robe speaks of authority. The robe speaks of position. The robe speaks of power. Amen? So the robe also speaks of value. Because when he died, what did they cast lots for? They wanted what? They wanted his robe. They wanted his robe. So it's you. Amen. The thing that Jesus was leaving us was this. Are you prepared to disrobe yourself and wear the garment of a servant to those who might have trespassed against you, like I have done, that I washed Judas's feet, I washed my betrayer's feet. Are you prepared to lay down your robe and take on the robe? The one that washed the people's feet was the lowest servant of the house. Now I'm talking about Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, he who is and was and is to come, took off his robe. The one who should be worshipped and served and blessed by those who he created to worship and serve and bless him. He took off his robe. He was so confident in who he was and where he was going and where he came from. He could strip off his robe, bend his knee. I'm talking about Jesus bending his knee. Jesus bends his knee to his servants, his disciples, those whom he loved. He was looking at Judas, and the betrayer before him, yet still washed his feet. That's the lesson of the washing of feet. Am I prepared to take off my garment? My ideology, my thinking, my rightness, the way I think I should be treated, the way I think I should be spoken to, the way I expect people to do what they should do for me, all about me. See, because betrayal is an offense to yourself, to you, personally you. And Jesus stripped himself of that, took on the form of a servant, bowed his knee to wash someone's feet. And he was shown love from a position of strength. Humility is not weakness. Humility is strength under control. Jesus knew and washed their feet. He washed the offense. He says, whatever's between us, this is what I would be doing. Whatever's between us, whatever, I'm in fellowship with you in the house of God or in the kingdom of God. I can't afford offense to be with us. I have to wash your feet. It doesn't mean I've got to take a bucket of water. It doesn't mean I've got to literally wash their feet. But what it does mean is this: intercede, pray for them, love on them, pull down every barrier for them, and love upon them, get the revelation. I can't change their mind. I'm not commanded to wash their head. I'm not commanded to wash their hands. I'm only commanded to wash their feet. They might see the same of me. They might still act the same way toward me. But that's not the issue. The issue is, he left an example before the cross to wash one another's feet. He picked up a towel. He just didn't wash their feet. He dried their feet. The towel, soaking up all the residue and the dirt of their yesterday and their pain. He didn't want them to walk away with wet feet to quickly pick up dirt. He wanted them clean. And Jesus is asking us, you might have been in a position of pain. You might have been in a position of hurt. You might have been in a position of betrayal. You might have been in a position where you've been used and abused. And the devil will jump on the bandwagon with a story like this. Who do they think they are? What right have they got to say that? Jesus uttered not a word. He disrobed himself of his title. He didn't disrobe himself of his deity, because servanthood proved his deity. He disrobed himself of titles. He disrobed himself of people's opinion. He disrobed himself so he could serve them and do the great act of love to build the bridge in case there's been any trespass against us. So when he stands before God, or when I stand before God, I've done my best. You've done your best. Washing their feet in prayer. Washing their feet with the genuineness of concern and heart. And the church is people who have offense. It's full of it. Well, they offended me. Well, as the offended, and you go and wash their feet. As the one that's been betrayed, was Jesus betrayed? Was he betrayed? Wash the betrayer's feet. He didn't pull him aside and give him a 3-point sermon on how he's not getting to heaven. He didn't do that. He wouldn't even call him, didn't even say, because he said this to some of the Pharisees, you sons of the serpent. Remember he said that? I love how Jesus talks, you sons of the devil. He didn't call them. Offended people. Offended people. When they take on that offense, it can lead to a root system of bitterness in their life. And a root system spreads. Do you agree? This week, we had an issue in our ensuite, haven't we, love? just used to drop slowly, you know. So I took the plunge, literally, and I said, I've got to fix this. I cut up my floor, rip up my tiles, rip out the toilet, start again. Jackhammered the toilet up. And underneath the toilet, there's a joint that hadn't been glued. And I pulled the toilet away, and there's this root system in the pipe, which is about that long. But it went into the S-bend of the toilet. So my toilet's wrecked because I had to smash it to get it out. And I said, look at that. The only reason that could grow in the joint wasn't glued. And God spoke to me as clear as day. He says, there's many people connected, but they're not glued. And they allow a root system to come in. We quote a scripture in Romans 10, 17, isn't it? If you confess and believe in your heart. 10:8. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Do you know what the word believe means? Does the devil believe? Yeah. What does the word believe mean? To rely upon, to trust in, and adhere to. And if you look at I can't remember his name. It literally says, like super glue. There has to be a bonding to have a believing. The devil can't do that. Rely upon, to trust in, and adhere to. That's what the word believe means. Amen. Can I strip myself of my own garment? Those who might have caused offense to me or done wrong to me, or even, let's go deeper, betrayed me. Can I bend the knee? Can I take off my outer garment, take the tags off me of what I expect, and bow my knee? And this is not something we have an option, really. Because if I don't allow the foot washing to occur, I will have no part with him. For those who have trespassed against me, the water of the word and his mercy, wash them with the water of the word, with the mercy of God, with the grace of God, and the love of God. And know to be all confident of whose you are, where you've come from, and where you're going. That's your rock. Whose you are, where you're from, where you're going. That gives you a strength to be able to bow the knee. And even though you might think, well, they've done all the wrong. Had Jesus done any wrong to Judas? No. How can Jesus do wrong? It's impossible for Jesus to do wrong. He's God. So the one that had done all the wrong to him, Jesus washed his feet. Did Jesus know his intents and thoughts of his heart? Yeah. That's why it says, he who dips his bread and I give it to, it's him that's betrayed me. Well, they were all dipping their bread. That's why the disciples actually had to come to him and say, Lord, is it I? Do you know that? Do you know the disciples had to come to Jesus and say, Lord, is it I? Can I tell you why? Because all of us are capable of it. Every one of us. Lord, is it me? It's the one who dips his bread with me. Then he said this, you do quickly. He knew the thoughts and intents. He knew the moment the devil entered his heart. Yet he still loved him. Can I show him the same sort of grace that have offended me and forgive those who trespass against me? Can I dry them with a towel of love and remove the residue from their former things? If I want to be part of him, this is not an option. It's not an option. Jesus left this last instruction before he showed us the cross. This instruction to the cross. And you'll never have a crown experience before you have a cross experience. There's always before a crown. Amen. If you've been offended here this morning in any form or fashion, it's time to get in the hour, your hour of prayer and begin to wash someone. That means hold no regard of anger or resentment or bitterness. To cause trespass to be washed away. But the betrayer, don't expect the betrayer to bow his knee. He's not in that, or she's not in that place. You who are spiritual, Galatians, restore such a one. Who is going to be spiritual in that hour? Am I going to stand there and say, I'm right, he's wrong. Blow you, Jack. Stay out of my face, I'll say to your face, and we'll see you later. And in heaven we'll sing Kumbaya together. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. If you, and that invitation to be with him is a place of intimacy. It's a deeper place of intimacy. That's why when you sang that song this morning, Lord, I give you my, and I give you my what? Whoo. My mind, my will, and my emotion. You're saying, I give you that, Jesus. But the wind can only blow in a little bit of the door. He wants the whole house. If I really mean it, and I want the more of him. Does anyone want more of him? And you want the more of him? Can you throw down your garment? That's your challenge. That's my challenge. Some people find that too hard. In their now hour, they find that a bit too hard. But if you allow the truth to soak into your soul, you know it's right. And if you love him, you'll do what he asks. And I'm not saying you have to go and knock on the door and make sure the temperature's 70 degrees and wash their feet and scrub their toenails and give them a pedicure. I didn't say that. But what you can do is love them to a point where when you see them, you don't have to hide. When you see them, you can walk up bravely and say, hello, you. Hope all things are well. When you can see them, say, I just want to say you, I don't love you. I'm not saying the cliche, I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you. I love you. Because one of these greatest acts of service to the church was to allow me to have the privilege to wash the feet. Because if I know how much it means to him, I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for him. Amen. And whom the Son sets free. Hallelujah. Who wants some new liberty in their spirit, man? Hey? I'm gonna be right left field now. The greatest area of offense in the church is not usually between single people. It's with marrieds. It's with the married couples. because they say things and they do things. They think they have a right to say it and do it. But if I love her how Christ tells me to love her, and I'm a work in progress. Amen. I will lay down my life. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Jesus loved the church. He died. He died. If I die to myself and wash her feet and restore her, I'm not worried about her hands or her head. That's God's job. I'll just wash her feet and keep loving on her with the grace and the mercy and sometimes some money and a meal and some shopping. Woman's language now. Amen. This is woman's language. Some shopping. And not bringing the reproach up over and over again. See, this is what we do. I'm going to finish on this because I've been too long. This is what specifically men do. Do you get what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying? What am I trying to do? I'm trying to wash her mind. That is not my job. That's his job. That's the bather's job. Don't do that. Haven't I shown you? Haven't I told you? Just don't you keep doing that? It's going to whatever. Now I'm trying to wash her hands. I'm trying to tell her how to live. That's not my job. That's the bather's job. My job is wash your feet. Amen. Bringing hope, restoration, deliverance from trespass. And show her all the time, I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm for you. I am not against you. I'll keep washing your feet. And vice versa, when I'm in my pit and my mouth is running a million miles an hour and she's on my case, when are you going to do this? And when are you going to do that? When can I expect this to happen? You said that last week. I'm generalizing, love. Generalizing. Of course women don't do that. That's right, you did, love. You don't do it anymore. I love you. So when that used to happen, right? When that used to happen last week. She comes to me and she washes me. Sorry, love. Love you. Here's a cup of coffee. Ladies, honestly, if you bring a cup of coffee to a man, you're halfway there. Here's a cup of coffee. Talk. Show love. Tell him how good he is. Even if he mucks up, celebrate he tried. I had this professor in church years ago, youngest doctorate in the UWA, had a doctorate at 21. Brilliant scientist. Snapped up by the CSIRO. But he's love tools. So I'm buying myself a shed, Dave. He didn't buy a shed. He bought a double garage. And it was two stories high. Huge. And he said, I'm going shopping to his wife. I'm going shopping. He spent thousands at Bunnings. They must have loved him. Thousands on tools. He bought himself a nice tool belt. American. Had all the screwdrivers in. I get a phone call. Pastor, come. I said, what? She goes, my wall's looking like Swiss cheese. Come to my house quick. He learned how to use a drill. And he was drilling his wall to hang a picture. He had all the right intentions. I'm not exaggerating, it must have been 530 holes in this little area. He didn't realize that his bricks were soft. So every time he was drilling it on hammer, he was blowing it out of the back. Scientist, he's brilliant. But he's got two left hands. So I said, tell me what you're doing. So I said, you don't need to do that on these bricks. Just don't put on hammer, just drill it softly. I didn't do it for him. I showed him how to do it. I said, now knock it in, it'll be all right. Knocked it in. I said, now you have to patch the wall. He said, no, the picture will cover that. And that's a true story. He covered it with a picture. And he talked about that all day. And his wife, I said, what am I going to do? I said, stop concentrating on what he didn't do. Concentrate on what he did do. We'll fix that later. No breeze was coming through, so it was all right. So that's exactly the foot washing. So many Christians concentrate on what people have done wrong instead of looking at what people have done right and celebrate the right, even though the wrong might outweigh it. Celebrate the right. Amen. And by you doing that, you're washing their feet. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Who wants to be more with him? Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Can I ask you to sing that song again? I want this to be our prayer this morning, this song. I want it to be our prayer. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Then we'll close the meeting. Let's sing it to him this morning. Let's not be a song. Please don't let it be a song. Let it be a prayer this morning. Oh yes, Lord.
Every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you, Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Father, this morning we say, have your way. Have your way in me, Jesus. Lord, I yield and I bow my knee to you and you alone. God, change me. God, change me. God, change me. Help me. Help me in this hour like never before. Lord, to be a foot washer in the house of the Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me to put barriers. Help me, Father, to alleviate pain. Help me, Jesus. I thank you. You've strengthened us in this hour like never before. We want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your will done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to decree our love for you this morning, our need for you this morning, our dependency on you alone this morning. Father, let this earth grow strangely dim to us day by day, that you're not my something, but you'll be my everything. In Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, tell him amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pick up a tea and a cup of coffee, some fellowship. That would be great. God bless you. Have a great week.